jump to your feet. You need to stand up and stretch. I'm going to preach forever. I wanted to give you a chance to kind of get comfortable. A covenant sign, talking about covenant, but to be raise your right hand like this. The idea was show the scar. Show you were in covenant. When you go to court, they say raise your right hand and swear you're going to quit lying. Father, I thank you now in the name of Jesus for all you do. And I reach to you, O Lord God, covenant in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. How many of you would like to change your life forever? I'm serious. You'd like to change your life. You'd do one simple thing. Just one simple thing. Quit lying. Stop. Stop lying to yourself. Stop lying to other people. And stop exaggerating. That's a lie. If you would do that, and there's Bible for it. You know what the Bible verse is? Let your yeas be yea and your nays be nay. Stop lying. And then speak only the truth in love. That's harder than it sounds. Because how many of you like speaking the truth? Got some people you like to cut the feathers off of. But you got to do it in love. Now, if you want to change, that's your assignment for this week. Just try it for a week. You ever saw the movie where, I think it's Jim Carrey, and he can't tell a lie. He's a lawyer. Oh, man. So, that was free, that part. This one you came for. We're talking about covenant. Last week we talked about a berith, which is a Hebrew for cutting covenant, blood covenant. God cut covenant with Abram. And later he became Abraham because in the cutting covenant you change names. And Abram and Sarah added the H, which the Jewish people didn't pronounce that H because it got too close to God, and they didn't want to profane his name. But they added that in, so it became Abraham and Sarah. When you get married, you change names. And the greatest covenant that you would be close to would be a covenant of marriage. And we look at the covenant of marriage as being something that is the perfect covenant. No, there's just a covenant. There's not a gray one. It's getting darker. The marriage is a perfect union of a man and a woman with such love that the wife actually reverences the husband. Are you there? And the husband actually loves the wife as he'd love his own soul. And the covenant is so powerful that you're ready to die for him. Lay down your life. And in the blessings and the curses, they actually say life and death, rich, poor, sickness, health. And how many of you have seen where one of the family members got real sick and the husband or the wife stood by him and did the things and everything, and you look at that love and you think, what love? No, that's just the love you're supposed to have for one another. But I like that part that says, I love you today more than I did yesterday. Yesterday you irritated me. How many of you get irritated easy? The covenant was cut. They gave the robe, they gave the weapons, they gave the blessings and the curses. They walked through the middle of the two walls of flesh, and God did it in such a way that Abraham didn't walk through. And Hebrews explains it a little bit. In the old, the new's concealed, and in the new, the old is revealed. And in Hebrews, you go back and look, and he says, I didn't have anybody to swear by, so I swear by myself. So God cut that covenant without Abraham being able to mess it up. He came back to the New Testament, and he does the same thing again. But in the New Testament, it's not a berith, it's a diatheke, different language. Diatheke means a greater and a lesser. And he comes there, and he cuts covenant between himself and the Son, the sinless Son of God, so that it could never be broken. The covenant can't be broken. You enter into it, and you begin to walk in it, but that covenant is unbreakable because it's between God and the man, Christ Jesus. Like that. Are you here? You're looking at me like a dog with a new bowl here. Going, what? That's between God and the man, Christ Jesus. And he went to be to the right hand of the Father. Now, as you enter into this, you have the diatheke, which is a greater and a lesser. You have a soontheke, which is between two equals, men. And all through the scripture, God tells you that you are to, again, the name of the book is the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. All you're going to learn about is covenants. And in the covenants, God teaches you to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy might. And your neighbor is yourself. Now the focus is love. Covenants are made out of the love that's there. That's how they're placed. Let's look at the scripture and go to uh 18th chapter, 1 Samuel, and we're going to go right into the men. We don't have a lot of time. 18, chapter 18, 1 Samuel, verse number 1. It came to pass when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David and Jonathan, and he loved him as he loved his own soul. Now, mark that if you would. Okay, it's real important. The covenant functions off of love. Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Jonathan and David made a covenant, berith, a cutting covenant, blood covenant, because he loved him as he loved his own soul. I was told when I was young, if it says it once in the scripture, it's important. If it says it twice, pay attention. Okay? And here we said, because he loved him as his own soul. Mark that if you would. Jonathan stripped himself of his robe that was upon him. What's the first step of covenant? The robe. Again, if you don't understand covenant, you won't know what the father was doing when the prodigal came home. And the first thing he did was give him what? A new robe. You won't understand blind Bartimaeus when he takes off that coat that represented his blindness. You won't understand what he's even talking about. Because when he dropped that, he was suddenly moving into, I'm not this person anymore. I'm not going to be blind. I'm going to go see Jesus. You know what the blind man that said went and saw Jesus said? I see. That's the covenant. And he drops that. Now here, Jonathan strips himself of his robe that was upon him and gave it to David, and his garment, even to his sword, his bow, and to his girdle. And the girdle wasn't hold up your belly. The girdle was what held your money, what held your daggers, what held your weapons of war, the sword. And the garment in which he took off and gave was a kingly garment. You're talking about this man was Jonathan Bar-Saul. Jonathan, the son of Saul, the son of the king, the prince of Israel, the soon coming king on the throne there. It was to be passed to him. And he took off his kingly robes and gave it unto David. Now, Jonathan knew that he had been anointed to be king. Jonathan recognized it. Jonathan spoke often of it. Matter of fact, he said to him, when you come into your place, let me be with you. Let me be with you. When you take the kingship, let me be with you. And he worked in this and walked in it. And he gave him the kingly robe that was to come. He also gave him his weapons. If anyone touches him, I'm going to fight for you. I'm going to stand for you. I'm going to protect you. I've got your back. And in just a little bit, you see Saul, the father of Jonathan, wanting to kill David and Jonathan protecting him. You can read all this. Matter of fact, it's a fantastic read. Okay? Just incredible read. And you can see how it worked and what happened in it. And he said, now I'm your protection. Everything I have is yours. Everything you have is mine. And the one thing about covenant and going into covenant with somebody, and listen to me carefully, do not just flip in and out of these. Okay? Look how long it was before God cut covenant with Abraham and how much water was under the bridge and how many times he protected him and how many times he bailed him out and how many times he brought him forth in situations and how many times he blessed him and how rich he made him. He was the first man that said, and he was rich. Are you there? And yet, they hadn't cut covenant yet. And then he makes a covenant with him because of how important it is, how sacred it is, what the consequences are, and the covenant was so strong. This was a covenant they had. Why? Because they loved each other as they loved their own soul. That's what it says. Love is the motivation behind the covenant. Love allows you to walk in that covenant. When you do goofy things, you can be put up with because love covers. And you understand the love that brought that covenant forth because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And why could he do that? Because he had already, a covenant is walked in depths, in levels, in growth, if you will. It's like when I married Barbara, I loved her. Wow. 50 years later, I know what love and her means. I know how great it is. I know how deep it can go. I know I can sit in the room with her and just look over at her and get warm and fuzzy feeling. I just love her. Covenant's the same way. As you go in covenant, you go on. Now, David and Jonathan were in covenant, and Abram and God was in covenant. And when he cut this covenant, later on he comes to him and said, give me your son, your only begotten son. He says, okay, loads up the stuff, takes off. Matter of fact, it says in there at the bottom of the mountain where he's supposed to, how many of you are familiar with this story? I don't want to go into all of it. At the bottom of the mountain, he leaves the servants there and says, we'll be back. We will be back. We are coming back. And he went up there to sacrifice his son to God. Hebrews tells you the only thing he could figure, since this was his blessed son, the son that was coming, the only thing he could figure is once he sacrificed him to God and he was dead, that God would raise him up and empower him and bring him back because he was the son of promise. That says that in Hebrews, if you'll look there. Now, when you begin to see that and he offers his son and God finally says, I know now. I know about you. There are very few people that you can say you know about in your life. I know. If I need you, you're there. If something happens, you're there. No matter what it is, you're there. If it's finances, you're there. If it's protection, you're there. If I'm having one of those days where I'm sitting in the corner in a dark room crying with a pillow over my face, I know I've got somebody that would just come in there and say, it's okay, I'm here. We're all right. See, I think, and my family has talked about this often with me, when we're in the middle of the problem, I will tell them, it's okay, I'm here. Because I think just me being here is going to fix it. Are you there? God is going to help us through this, and just me being here is going to fix it. It's okay. We're going to make it. Why? We're together. We're standing together. We're in this covenant together. We've empowered and we are overcomers. You can win or you can lose a lot of the battles. Doesn't matter. You just got to win the last one. Do you know George Washington lost all the battles except one? The last one, the one that counted. And when you understand, if you'll read the back of the book, you win because God's on your side. God's your protector. God's your shield. God's your sword. And as we begin to walk in this covenant, he then said, now I know about you. Now I know what you are. Now I know how important this covenant is to you. And he says this to Jonathan, and they begin to walk. Now, they go on. A lot of things happen. But later on, Jonathan comes back to him and cuts the covenant again with him. And he says, I want to cut covenant again. I want to do this again. But I want the emphasis this time to be upon my family. Now, in the covenant, when you cut covenant, within the man, all of the seed within the man's loins, the children that are to come, he may not have had yet, but the children that are come are in the covenant, but they have to choose whether they're going to walk in the covenant or not. They have to choose whether they're going to live that way, because it's a big choice. Because now you got to protect them, stand up for them, love them, be there, fight for them, die for them if needs be. That's why the gangs use a covenant mentality in all of the street gangs have it. You come in, I'm going to stand there. I'm going to work with you. I'm going to love you. I got your back. Somebody comes after you, I'm coming after them. You need finances, you need help, I'm going to take care of it. Something happens to you, I'll take care of your wife and children. All the way through, you can see it. They even changed names. Now they have a street name. Okay, you could look at it and see the things that happen. And that's the mentality. They don't know what they're doing with it, but they're walking it out, just like every nation around the world has their own set of blood covenant, where covenant is cut, blood is spilled, things happen, and now you protect each other, your family, you're there together. Jonathan is there. He comes back. He says, I want you to take care of my family. It's real important, my family, my seed. And they cut covenant, and it says, covenant again. So he went back and put the extra emphasis on this. Things happen, the war goes on. David is killed, and Jonathan is killed. And Jonathan and David are both killed, and Saul. I'm trying to think here and turn the page. I don't do things well. You just are lucky I don't have gum. Okay? This is Samuel 20, verse 16. And Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, let the Lord even require it at the hand of David's enemies. He caused him to swear because he loved him, for he loved him as he loved his own soul. And he began to talk about his house. And as we begin to see that, you begin to see how they walked. Verse 42, he says, go in peace, for as much as we have sworn with us in the name of the Lord, saying the Lord is between me and thee, and between my seed and thy seed forever. And he arose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city. Now, here we can see he is interested in his children. Many of you are interested in your children. I just had a grandma introduce her grandson to me. We're talking happy people when it gets to grandkids and great-grandkids and things that are going on. And but David is at war. He defeats his enemies. All these things are taken care of. And now David is sitting in his throne. There's peace in the kingdom. He's sitting at the throne. His hands are upon the arms of the chair. And he looks down, and there it is, the covenant mark. There it is, Jonathan. Jonathan and I went in covenant. He's no longer here. But I remember I'd look after his family. When you walk with somebody in covenant, they take care of you. I went back to Joplin. My father had passed away. Went back to Joplin, and Hank was there. You've met Hank. He's my pastor there now at that church. And anyway, Hank was a car salesman at the time. And my dad had passed away. And Barbara and I didn't have hardly anything. We had trouble paying attention, let alone any other bills, you know. And when we went back, our car was, we had four little kids and a small car. And anyway, he called me and said, come out to the lot. And I went out there. And when I drove up, there was a new van sitting in the overhang there. And when I pulled up, I got out and started walking over. And he said, Bill, I'm glad you're here. I don't have very much time. Here's a new van for you to drive while you're here. It'll handle you, the kids, and any other family you need to put in it. He said, oh, yeah, I filled it up with gas. And he reached in his pocket. He said, here's $100. I know you're going to have some expenses. And then he said, listen, if you run out of gas in the van or run out of money, come back and I'll do either one of them. Okay? Now, that wasn't expected. That was given freely in relationship, in covenant relationship. And when you walk in it, you don't take advantage of people. Listen to me closely. You're not there to suck everything out of everybody else because you're too lazy to do anything. Did I say that gently with love? I don't want to lie. But you're not taking advantage of people. You do everything in your power. They do everything in their power, and you take care of them just like family. Okay, when Barbara and I started this church, what we wanted was a church of covenant families that stood with each other, protected each other, that would be there for each other, that would help each other when they did not. I don't know how many families I've given money for Christmas and things and stuff for cars and different things in the church. Why? Because they had a need. They didn't ask me for it. If you ask me for it, I have to really get prayed through for it and give it to you. Because I think, God, how did I miss that? Is this really you? We better go on. But you don't take advantage. You're there, and you have men and women that stand close enough that you could look down and say, boy, I'd like a drink of cool water out of that well. And two warriors would go down there while the enemy surrounds it, fight their way through it, and get water and bring it back to you just because that was the desire of your heart. And God says, I will give you the desires of your heart. I'll protect you. I'll love you. I'll surround you. I'll keep you safe. And as we begin to walk in this, David's sitting there, and suddenly he looks down and sees his arm, and he says, David and Jonathan are in covenant. And he says, I need to find if he's got family. Well, he's king now. So he starts talking to people and say, you guys know Jonathan's got any family, any kids? Any kids? He's the new king. What the new kings did, first thing, was kill all the relatives of the old king so they wouldn't come and try to get the throne back. And so when he started saying, Jonathan got any kids? Everybody said, why? I just want to bless him. Yeah, right. So anyway, he finally finds this guy. Let's look at 2 Samuel 9. And David said, is there any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? Since you've heard this word kindness, the kindness and mercies of the Lord, blessing of the Lord, I want you to think of, and as you're reading New Testament, how many times it talks about kindness. Okay, and there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba, And when they had called him unto David, the king said to him, Art thou Ziba? And he said, Thy servant is he. And the king said, Is there not yet any in the house of Saul that I may show kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto him, Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet. And let me stop. He tells him of a son which is lame. And what had happened before is Saul had had a brother. And I can give you the scripture afterwards. But he had had a brother, and two of the warriors went and said, Saul's brother, let's kill him for David. So they killed him, whacked off his head, took his head to David. And David looked at the head of Saul's brother and said, okay, I'm in covenant to protect this family. And since you did it to them, he did it to them. He sent them out, set off with their heads. Why? They'd kill somebody he said he'd protect. That's in your Bible, and you'll understand it when you read it. But here's Ziba, and he's saying to him, is there, and he says, yeah, he lives down in the house of Manasseh. And in Lodibar. And then the king David sent and fetched him out of the house of Manasseh, the son of Amiel. How's that, John? Whatever it is. George. Got him out of the house of George. And from Lodibar. And Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul. Now, look at the generations here, because when you start dealing, you want your children and your children's children blessed. And I love that bumper sticker that says, I'm spending my children's inheritance. I like that one. That one's good. But you're to take care of the children. You're to have enough finances to take care of the children and the children's children. You're to bless them. And it says, when it says you're to take care of the grandchildren, it doesn't mean you cut the other ones out. Okay, moving on quickly. Anyway, he sends him down, and David sends soldiers to Lodibar. Now, Lodibar's out in the middle of the desert. It's hot, but no air conditioning. No Frosties are there. You know, they can have Dairy Queens or anything like that. They're just hot, tired, no air conditioning, no fans, nothing. And this town hates David. They are against King David. And Mephibosheth and all of those that surround him hate David because David took the throne from Mephibosheth. If David gets a chance, he's going to kill you. David will never do you right if you get in David's trouble. And how many of you have been around somebody who's bitter at somebody else, and it's not long till you are? Are you there? You got to watch that. And anyway, the soldiers come in. Here comes the soldiers, and I can almost hear their footsteps as they're coming. Mephibosheth's laying in a bed there. He's lame. He can't get up. He can't walk. He's laying there, and the soldiers come tramping in, and they're not kind. They don't care anything about Mephibosheth. I'm out here to get you. It's hot. I've had to walk all this way. I'm not into this, and now it looks like I'm going to have to carry you back. Okay? They're not. They just grab him and take him. Where am I going? King David wants to see you. What's the evil imaginations that hit Mephibosheth? He's going to kill me. I'm not going to last long. David's just looking so he can kill me. He's been waiting. I've told him. He's going to kill me. And anyway, they come in and throw him down on the ground before him. Anyway, we see this come to pass, and he comes in, and David says to him, look in verse number, looks like 6. Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, Saul, came unto David, fell on his face, did reverence And David said to Mephibosheth, he said, "Behold thy servant." Now, what did he say? David said to Mephibosheth, and he answered, "Behold my servant." He said, he threw himself down on the ground. He humbled himself. He reverenced. He's being as nice as he can because he's looking for him to kill him. And David said unto him, "Fear not." Why'd he say that? It was evident he was afraid. He said, "Don't be afraid, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake." Why do they do it? For the father's sake. He's in covenant with him. And will restore thee all the land of Solomon thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at the table, at my table continually. Now, the first thing he says is don't be afraid. I'm doing this for your father's sake. Now, I've told both my boys, I've got a list of people. I said, if they need your help, do it. If it's in your power, accomplish it. If they need your help. They're what the old book calls friends of the father, and you take care of them. Friend is a covenant word. Abraham was a friend of God. And as he begins to see this, he says, for your father's sake, I'm doing this. And so if the person you're in covenant with, if their kids need you, if their wife needs you, if their family needs you, you're there. And for your father's sake, I'm doing this to you. What am I doing? I'm going to give you back all of the lands, all of the riches, everything that Saul had. I'm going to return it to you because it would have went to Jonathan and then from Jonathan to you. And how did he know what he had? Because he was married to Saul's daughter. And when the sons were gone, the inheritance went to the wife, and that became part of David's wealth. So he knew what he had and what to give. So he said, I'm going to give it back to you. Now, here is a dream come true. He's ushered in, and now he has all of the wealth, all of the prestige, all of the things that his father and grandfather had, and it's been given to him by a man who he hates, who he has vowed to kill, who he has didn't want anything to do with, and yet here is this man blessing me. And if I want that, do I want it? Yeah! And I get to eat at his table as one of his children the rest of my life. But if I do, I have to enter into covenant with him. That means I have to protect him. I have to give him whatever I have that he needs. I have to give it to him. I have to stand up for him. I have to change my life. People that I've stood with and threatened David now are going to look at me like, why'd you sell out? Because you're going to have to go into covenant. It's time for you to have the choice to enter covenant. Okay? And as he says all these things, suddenly the realization of covenant. You were in covenant with my father? That wasn't something Jonathan proclaimed because his dad didn't like David, was trying to kill him. So here we are. You are in covenant. And now when it comes time and he's in the castle after a while and he's hobbling along down the hallway on these crutch things, and suddenly somebody stops and snares and said, "You don't deserve to be here." And he lifts up his hand and shows him the scar. Said, "Yes, I do. I'm in covenant. I walk in covenant with David." And they're sitting at the table. It's breakfast time. They're eating juice and pancakes. And suddenly it pops up and two people grab it. And Mephibosheth says, "Let go of my ego," right? And then he flashes him the sign. Not many at that table have that. But it's covenant. So he lets go of the ego, right? Foolish example, but you understand. And now a decision has to be made. Do I accept it or do I reject it? Do I accept becoming the royalty that I've always been but didn't know I had access to? Or do I reject it and go on living in hate against a man who has loved me and shown me that love? If you're following the picture, you understand I'm talking about God and how much God loves you and how he comes to you when you have nothing, when you can't do anything, when you're worthless. Mephibosheth falls down and said, I'm worse than a dead dog. When you have no hope, no anything, and God, through the covenant of Jesus Christ, reaches out and said, I want to restore you to the royal family. I want to bring you in and make you a son of the living God. I want to make you an heir and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. All you have to do is put away all those things you've said and all those things where you thought that I was just out to kill you and get rid of you and I hated you, when I really just loved you and wanted to do you good and show you kindness. But now you have to accept that and walk down the aisle and declare him before all men. And suddenly you get a mark. Remember when Paul was talking about people that didn't walk right? He said, mark them, put them to the side. Now you get a mark. And you also get a new name. In Revelations, it says you'll get a new name. Nobody knows what it is. You get a name change. You're walking in this fullness. You're taking a covenant meal to proclaim to the whole world you're in covenant with Christ Jesus and start that covenant afresh and new. But you have to start living right. You can't choose both of them. You can't choose royalty and be in the gutter. You can't choose living the way you should with in Christ Jesus and live in the darkness of the world, walking in the fullness of sin. You can't do that. You've got to decide, do I want to be in the royal family, the family of God, be a priest and a king? Do I want that? Or do I want to stay in Lodibar? That's your choice. And you only have to make it. And then begin to walk it out. It's not just saying it. You got to live it. It's not just saying I'm going to protect you. You got to be there when they need help. It's not saying I'll give you everything I've got. It's being there to give it when they need help. And God says, you need help. But he brings you into the family. And suddenly you cry, Abba, Father. Let me look at, turn if you would, in Galatians. And it's found in verse number, or chapter 3, verse 26. This whole thing has been talking about covenant. And he says in verse 26, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. For as many as you have been baptized unto Christ, what have you done? You have put on Christ. You've taken off the old man and you put on the new man. You covenant. You don't understand covenant? Put on Christ. What's that mean? Where's the buttons, right? And there is neither Jew nor Greek, neither bond nor free, neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And then he says something so extraordinary that if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. You take on Christ and you suddenly shoot back in time to when Abraham and God cut covenant, and every promise that he gave to Abraham now belongs to you. Why? Because you're Abraham's seed. And through that one seed, Christ Jesus, you have access to all the promises of God, all the protection of God, all the love of God, all the peace of God, all the kindness, all the mercy, all the blessing, all the joy, all the things people talk about and want and yearn for is now yours. All you have to do is decide you want to do it. Bow your heads, if you would. Nobody looking around. The decision's yours. And if the musicians would come, you've got to make a decision. Do you want to accept Christ and what he has? Or do you want to play around on the edge? Do you want to be in Lodi Bar where it's hot? Or do you want to be in the palace? Do you want to be in hell for eternity? Or do you want heaven to be your home with Christ Jesus, Father God, everything that's available, all the goodness of God given to you? You have to make a choice, but it's not a choice that you get to make and just play games with. It's got to be right now, all in or all out. All in or all out. You want to now stand for Christ and protect him, where all of those people have made fun of him and made jokes about him and said evil things and talked bad about him. And do you want to stand up at that time and say, he's my God. I'm saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. You don't understand, evidently, or you wouldn't be saying those things. Are you ready to stand up and protect Christ? Are you ready to lay down your life and die for him? Are you ready to understand that God wants to give you everything you have need of? Whatsoever things you need, he's going to bring forth to you. The desires of your heart, the blessing, he's going to give gifts to you. Men are going to bring gifts unto you. You're not going to know where it's from. You can't plan it. God's blessing's not planned. God's blessing explodes and it's brought to you. But you got to decide. And you've been holding off too long. You've been playing around the edge too long. You've not been serious. You've not been doing what you should. You've not been living the way you ought to. You've not been doing these things. You're just out there in Lodi Bar, wishing you were in the palace. If that's you, nobody's looking. Slip your hand up, say, I need to change. Need to change. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you. God's good. God's good. I'd like you to stand to your feet, everyone. If you raised your hand, don't just slip out of the seat. Said, somebody's in my way, they'll move. Come down here, find you a place to pray, and there'll be somebody to come and pray with you. I want you to come on the very first word, the very first verse.